Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right. Well, thanks for making the drive over again today, John.
Once again, making the drive in record time.
That's right. That's right. Well, I hope the traffic wasn't too bad.
I got
the 75.
You call it the 75?
I'm trying it out.
Stop.
Yeah, we'll see.
No, stop.
All right.
You're from the South. You don't say the 75.
It just sounds cool when they say it.
Okay, whatever.
All right, well, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Dune. Specifically, minutes 2 to 3. This minute starts off with a bald man looking wistfully. And it ends with some puffed up tortillas lifting into the sky.
I wouldn't say wistfully at all. I think he looks a little angry. Yeah, in fact,
we'll figure it out.
He kind of gets that little smirk at the end. So to the first time viewer, that's how you know he's the bad guy.
He definitely looks evil. I mean, yeah. Dave Bautista has that face.
Yeah, but
I hear he's a wonderful person.
Oh, I was just going to say, he has that like bad guy face, and he's always had that bad guy like persona and everything, you know, in the WWE, or so I've been told. I'm not a big WWE person or wrestling person anyways, but no, apparently he's like a giant teddy bear to, you know, when he's just his normal self. So,
well, he's looking over something either wistfully or angrily or maybe a combination of the two. And then our voiceover comes back and says, richer than the emperor himself, which is the rest of the quote that ended yesterday's minute. So the full quote was, by controlling the spice production, they became obscenely rich, richer than the emperor himself, which I don't quite know if that's true. Okay, I'm going to just nerd for a second.
Okay. As if this whole podcast isn't us nerding for many seconds about minutes of a
many of a seconds about many minutes
multi-hour movie. Yes, go on.
In the books, they were not portrayed as richer than the emperor themselves. They were definitely like hoarding wealth for sure, but that was not the reason for the events that we'll later see. Was not because they were richer than the emperor himself. I think it's a good adaptation for the movie. I think it makes more sense to people, but it is a little bit of a departure from the books.
Sure, but you know, to your point, you need to make it make sense. You need to make all of Dune make sense to mass market, and the mass market understands greed. They understand the motivations that may change over time because of hoarding wealth and everything. So also it may just be an idiom because,
yeah, you
know,
fair.
People say, you know, richer than God or whatever.
Richer than Croesus.
True.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that for a dollar. Then we move over to a person whose head pops out of the sand, or Parson pops out of the sand.
And this is where my notes are back on track.
Okay, good.
Yes, so going back to what I was saying last episode and everything, this truly shows how unprepared the Harkonnens and everything are for being on Arrakis, even though they've been on Arrakis for 80 years at this point. They're still not shit when it comes to, you know, being able to defend themselves against what the Fremen are capable of doing. However, they just have the numbers to just constantly resupply any people that are lost in these kind of situations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They don't. I mean, they make a sport of you know, killing the Fremen, who, you know, we will later find out these people who keep popping out of the sand, they are the Fremen, the native inhabitants of Arrakis. They make it into a sport almost of killing the Fremen, but clearly the Fremen are much more prepared for desert warfare, as if they have a desert power of sorts.
All right, dude. Side note. I think the hoods, like, that the Harkonnen are wearing, like, obviously are protecting their, you know, bald, pale heads from the hot sun and the sand and everything, but they're definitely not helping with their peripheral vision.
No, absolutely not. They're not efficient. They are nowhere near as efficient or as mobile. Honestly, they don't look as good as the Fremen still suits that they're wearing.
Yeah.
It's clearly the Fremen are much better acclimated to this environment.
In addition to the slow motion shots of the Fremen jumping out of the ground and, you know, stabbing and dispatching of Harkonnen forces, we then get a slow motion shot on, someone's finger on the trigger of a gun. But right before we cut to the barrel of the gun shooting a laser, I would just like to point out how awkward and small the trigger on this gun actually is. It's just like a little knob, barely. Just from a safety perspective, it seems like it can be, you know, hit accidentally, and that maybe is bad design.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're much more of a gun person. I wouldn't call you a quote unquote gun person, but you enjoy them. You have a couple. What have you ever seen in real life, like a trigger this small, or like have you ever used a gun with a trigger this small?
No.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well,
but you know, I mean. That's not to say that people hadn't had that in the past. I'm sure, like, those early guns that you see from the, you know, 15th century or whatever, that when Europeans were first, you know, starting to build guns and everything, maybe had horrible design like this. So,
okay. Well, we'll see if that plays into anything later in the movie. Spoilers, it doesn't.
It does not. No. That's just an observation from a gun owner. Okay.
I want to talk a second about Lay's guns. I'll try to keep this somewhat brief, but, it is an interesting thing, it's an interesting topic, laser guns, or Lay's guns as they're known. So we see them just absolutely cut through one of these carryalls, and it is a huge, huge, explosion, and just absolutely murks it. Some people, you know, who are accustomed to watching sci-fi shows would say, why are there no shields? Like, you know, that shields are a very common thing in like a sci-fi environment. I'll talk a lot more about shields and, you know, how they work and everything. And specifically why they do not have them. In the desert later when we get to the shield, you know, the iconic shield scene later in the movie. But I did want to note that the interaction between a shield and a laser gun in at least the Frank Herbert in, universe results in a atomic blast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there is a very good reason why it's interesting that we see one and why there is no shield and why that makes sense in the story. So, yes, if a laser gun interacts with a shield, it creates an atomic blast. And those are generally frowned upon.
I mean, yeah, no, that's not good for anyone.
No, definitely not.
I'm guessing that comes from the encyclopedia, because I feel like that's something that maybe isn't.
No, that is from the books, actually. No, they do cover that in the books.
Oh, okay.
The backstory on why that interaction between laser gun and shield, why that creates an atomic blast is covered in the encyclopedia. I will not get into that because that will be in a whole hour worth of me talking by itself. Yeah, that's straight from Frank Herbert's writings.
Yeah, no, we definitely want to keep these digestible and fast. Yes. One thing that I would like to point out, though, so after the laser gun does absolutely decimate one of the harvesters, you quickly see the Harkonnen retaliation, and you see the heavy stick that they bring along with them. with the artillery fire that just completely annihilates the side of the cliff that all of the Fremen were hiding on, specifically our friends Jameis and Chani.
It's true. The Fremen are much more surgical in their attack. You know, I mean, even that, just the visual of the laser, just like a pinpoint in the carryall, and then it explodes.
Versus the artillery barrage that the Harkonnens are just like, all right, like, fuck it, boom. Like
one shot spreads into five, and those shots spread into, you know, five of themselves, and it's just, yeah, it's crazy. They're just like blanket firing across this hill where the Fremen are very pinpoint in their accuracy.
Yeah, the Harkonnens carry a sledgehammer while the Fremen have a scalpel.
Absolutely.
Or a kris knife, as it were.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, well, we'll get there.
In my notes I say that they miss the people on the guns with the hill. It's they're poorly guided weapons. But they do not miss the fighters on the ground. So this is our first visual of Fremen fighters getting cut down by the shots fired from the carryalls. And this causes the folks on the hill to retreat back into a cave, or at least what looks like a cave.
With a very notable slow motion cut to Chani turning around. Clearly their resistance hasn't been enough to force the Harkonnens back. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier with how the Harkonnens don't really seem to care about their numbers because they can just quickly replenish any of their lost foot soldiers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of many dramatic lookbacks that we will see in the Dune movies.
They really liked filming in that one
cave canyon
thing. Yeah. I feel like they probably spent several days just getting turnaround look back shots in there.
Hey man, if you rent it for the full day, get your money's worth.
At this point, I believe Chani makes mention talking about how one day the Harkonnens just leave Arrakis. And there is the question of why did the Emperor choose this path?
Yep.
The relationship that the Fremen have with the Empire as a whole, is it just that they acknowledge that it exists and there's no attendance at court for all of that? Like, what's that whole relationship like
there? The relationship between the Fremen and the Lansdrad?
Yes. The Lansdrad.
Yes, Lansdrad. Lansdrad?
Lansdrad.
Lansdrad.
In this movie, they refer to it as the Lansdrad.
Okay. It is, I'll say it ranges from unknown to tenuous at best. The history of the Fremen people in the overall history of the Imperium, they're the people who were just kicked around from planet to planet. There's a lot of information in the encyclopedia about this, this thing called the Zensuni migration, which is what the Fremen's original name was. So you can trace their origins to a clear line back to, Earth, in this universe, like back to Earth. They were people taken from Earth to use as basically like seeds for new planets. As the Imperium expanded, oftentimes against their will. Sometimes they agreed to go, but most of the time it was something that they were forced to move from planet to planet. The population divided and killed and just it was a very, very rough road. And Arrakis is just the latest place that the Zensuni migration has ended up. And Fremen is the latest name that this people is going by. So in terms of representation, they have none. They don't have a formal seat in the Imperium. They you know, there's like no representation, I guess, for laws. And I think that shows as we get to learn, like get to know more about them. They neither care nor want that.
But they do know about it. And they do know about the emperor and the reach of, you know, the empire as a whole and the Landsraad, obviously, because the Harkonnen have been occupying their planet for the last 80 years.
Yes.
Because of the importance of spice to the empire, which we will get to probably later.
Yes. Many minutes from now, we'll start talking about the importance of spice. But it is a very tenuous relationship at best.
So, there is a question of why. That question will definitely be answered later on. To the Fremen, to see their current oppressors just up and leave, that would, to me at least, raise some questions and some internal alarms of, oh shit, something's probably coming that's even worse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we get the idea that these are not the first people to occupy, to be the occupier or the oppressors, as Chani says. Absolutely. They're like, who's the next one?
Yeah.
I did want to say for a second, we do see, again, that sense of scale here. We see the field of soldiers, and they're all in like military,
they're legions.
Legions of people. They're in the military formations and everything, and they are just being swallowed by these huge ships.
Yeah, the troop transports. I think I did like some pixel counting on my screen and everything. I think each one of the troop transports was like 5 legions wide.
Oh wow!
So they were very, very large, and to see small troop transports on the screen in a field of them really gives you that idea of just how massive everything in this universe is. And the start of our next minute will then take what dwarfs humans and dwarfs those items, those ships themselves. So it's a little
foreshadowing. I love it. The last note that I have here is that the ships, they did kind of look like when you cook a corn tortilla on a cast iron and
puff up and, a little
bit.
Yeah,
it puffs up in the center. It reminded me of that. So I just referred to them in my notes as the puff torts.
I just call them Cheetos.
All right. Yeah, that works too.
Like big puffed up Cheetos.
But. So the big puffed up Cheetos fly off into the sky. And that is where our minute ends. Any more notes on this one, John?
Nope. Once again, we're world building, but we're really getting into the meat and potatoes of Arrakis at this point.
Yep. What would you rate this minute? Our third minute.
I'm gonna give this probably 4.5 or 5 Shai Hulud out of 10 Shai Hulud. We're getting some action. We're getting some real movement in the story. We're setting up for the rest of the movie at this point.
Okay. I'm going to stick with 3 on this one, just because I don't want to run through my 10 too quickly. I want to, temper my expectations. It was good. We had laser guns.
That was really cool.
It was very good. It was very, very good. I know that this is just me talking from the future. I know that there's many, many more explosions coming down the line. So I don't want to use up all my Shai Huluds just yet.
All right.
Well, what do you say we come back tomorrow?
Tomorrow sounds good.
All right, cool. Well, see you then.